If we ever had a family movie, it's probably that one about how 9/11 was an inside job.
And I looked over at him, and he looked over at me with his whiskey, and he goes, "When boys were bloody men."
Give him a call. And he's like, "Yeah, I'm in Ohio." And he said it so casually. He said it like, "Yeah, I'm going to be a little late. I'm just going to need to go to Canada real quick."
Fuck you, Dad!
Hello and welcome, everybody, to another episode of Fuck You, Dad. You know what it is. Today we have a good friend of mine all the way from North Carolina, Mr. Renee Luna. Renee, what's up, man?
Hey, what's up? How you guys doing? Thank you, Nick, Kenyon, for having me. Genuinely honored to be here. I'm a fan of your podcast.
Oh, thanks. Honored's a strong word for this cast, but I appreciate it, man.
Privileged.
Privilege is a strong
word. I can die. Thank you. I can die happy. I'm very glad to be here. I love the premise of the podcast. I love the name.
It's just something that I was always thinking. So I was like, I have to do a podcast about it. It's just a thought that I literally always have in my head is fuck you, Dad. So I was like, we got to do something with this.
The name has always brought people either laugh and then I go, you're cool, or they grimace and go like, whoa. And then I go, yeah, you can't handle it.
No,
so
it's a good test. Yeah, because then you cut that person out of your life.
Yeah, have you guys had any guests who are like, oh, I have a great dad. Let me talk. Like,
you know, we had one person that misunderstood the premise a little bit, and they thought that we had to, I don't know, disparage their dad, talk about like just be anti your dad. But he's just like, I don't know. It was like he had a great child and everything was fine. I'm like, okay, maybe don't fucking agree to do the podcast. Be just fine. I'm just fine. just find one funny story. I'm not asking you to like write a dissertation on why your dad's a piece of shit. Just run like a wacky, I have like a wacky story about how Nick fucked up one time. That doesn't mean Nick sucks irredeemably, you know, but some people are like really like a little weird and touchy.
When did I fuck up though?
I'm just saying like, you know what I mean? Like just to give an example, like,
I mean,
you
I'm
tell,
sure
like,
you do.
You could have like a funny story about somebody being weird or whatever. It doesn't always have to just be like fucking, you know, like they're evil.
Exactly. Yeah. But I knew him only through the phone because we left. We left when I was 3 from Mexico.
Yeah.
Not the greatest parent.
I imagine. Anytime anyone's fleeing a country, then you're not coming with them. You're like, probably not. You're probably part of the reason. You're like, it's the corruption and you. So
yeah, most immigrants leave their homeland because like it's a horrible place. My mom was like, "No, I have a horrible husband. Mexico's great. I love it."
It's a great time.
A demon.
Yeah, yeah. West Calientes is an awesome time, which is this man specifically. I need to get away from.
Yeah. So, but I mean, it's like a weird relationship because I never met him, but my brother and sisters did, and they were there for like both like the shitty husband, but also I guess the somewhat loving and caring dad, because they still like, you know, care for him and they mourned him when he passed away. So it was a bizarre feeling of like, all right, I know, you know, what he sort of was as a husband to my mom based on like, you know, what she's told us. And mom was always like super fucking generous to him too. She was never like, your dad's a dick, he's a piece of shit. She was like, look, one day you're gonna meet him, you'll judge him for yourself. All right. She never like kept him away from him. Because she was like, I don't need to do anything for you to know that this dude is just, you know what I'm saying? He ain't.
That's like every husband's worst nightmare, that they would pass away and then their wife would just teach their kids like, he was a piece of shit. I hate, like, that's like our number one, like, I think that would be the worst case scenario.
Well, it's because it's like the other team has gotten the football and they can make just just forever touchdowns. Just forever.
There's no defense.
No defense. You can't be like, listen, okay, I did get a little wild, but if you heard what she was saying, I just came home from work. There's none of that. It's like you're in the ground, so it's kind of it's her turf now. So
yeah, exactly. But I mean, I didn't like I don't hate him or like dislike him.
You don't know him enough to do either. You're just like,
yeah, I'm just very like indifferent.
That's kind of how I am with my dad. My dad's like, he's my dad. I feel like is a weird roommate who I have a lot of baggage with.
Right.
You know,
he's Salvadoran, right?
My mom's Salvadoran. My dad's white.
Dad's wife. Gotcha.
Yeah.
Oh, so, shit. In my mind, it was always the other way around. Oh, that's interesting then.
No. I actually have never actually met a half Hispanic person whose dad is Hispanic. I feel like it's always the mom. And then I feel like they just marry a white dude because that's, you know, that's the ultimate way to like appease your, to like a Latino mom. You know, I think they think that's like success almost.
That's a good way. A boomer Latino mom. Yeah.
Boomer Latino mom. They think like, oh, he's got a job. Look at the Izod shirt. You know what I mean? They're instantly, impressed with like, blue with eyes? Like a white boyfriend.
Okay. All right.
For sure. So my dad's white, but yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, so like my mom was more of a dad really when I was growing up. Like my sisters were more of the mom. They were more like the maternal, as far as like hugs and kisses and shit like that. It was okay. My older sisters. My mom was not there, always working. And when she came home, she was like, I'm tired. Make something to eat for yourself. Damn. Married father-like.
Yeah, that's dad.
I mean, you just have to work so much. You just become a dad. You're just like, pissed. Yeah, you're like, I don't have to. Yeah. Yeah. My mom is like, I was like quasi single mom thing where my dad's like in or out or not being like responsible per, but she still, I think, does mom stuff for like, she cooks a lot and like is nice. But there's something about where you're like, you've just gotten so deep into like being a single parent where you're like, I'm just like more of a dad. I would leave these people. You're like, if I had a chance, I could. I would have gone.
Did your mom ever think when you guys left Mexico? Did she ever be like, man, maybe I got to go to Canada?
Yeah, she's like, yeah, so that's
maybe I got to keep going, leave these kids here.
Yeah.
I fucking wish. I don't know how she got this far into America, like North Carolina, and was like, this is a good spot.
Because you grew up in like the most rural part of North Carolina, which is weird.
Hell yeah, dude!
Like I was like, why would you do that?
The closest neighbor was like half a mile away, and the convenience store was like 20-ish minutes. So it was rural as fuck. And I think when I asked her, she said it was just because we had family here.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, but I'm like, also like, why is your family there? Like, I'm like, why would you be like, let's move to the most historically unwelcome to people that are different than them place in America, and then go far. You know, the cities you're kind of chill, but like, let's go deep. Like, let's go. I want Confederate flags just within a mile of my vicinity at any moment. You know,
yeah, I gotta ask my grandma before she does.
Like, what the fuck. Probably just ended up, but yeah, rural. I don't know. I start getting nervous in rural areas in North Carolina, man. Like when you see the Confederate flag, like it feels like one of those things where if you just were alone walking to a gas station, you know what I mean?
I don't know what it is, but I feel, and I'm a white person, and I feel more scared in like rural America than like walking in Chicago. People are always like, "Oh, Chicago, pretty scary, right?" I'm like, "No, it's not."
Well, I think it's because they automatically know that you're an out. You're not like from there because not a lot of people live there. You know what I'm saying? In rural towns.
Exactly.
They
exactly.
automatically know, especially if you don't have like a bad accent or whatever. They're like, this is a fucking, I don't know. Also out there, it feels like someone could just fucking shoot you and bury you in a field and never like Chicago, at least my body has news coverage. Like there's going to be, exactly. There's going to be evidence of my death. But like, if I get popped, like in fucking, you know, over in like Boone area, North Carolina, you never hear from me. I just disappear.
No, you have to wait 20 years and then you get in a Netflix documentary.
Yeah, that's how you die.
Yeah, growing up, racists for the most part around here are pretty cowardly. So as long as like you don't run into a group of conservatives or QAnonans or racists or whatever the fuck they are, right. They're generally going to like stay to themselves.
A herd of them.
Aside from like just fucking like, you know, looking at you sideways or old ladies clutching their purse. It wasn't too bad.
Right. They're not, they don't have the confidence to go off, but you know, they think about it every day. Like they look at a photo of like Trump or Richard Nixon and they go, one day my hero and like practice some fucking
if they're with their cousins. Yeah. If they were with their cousins, they'll yell something racist out, but otherwise,
if you speak in Spanish in the grocery store or something, when they're like, if they feel real empowered, they might go for it. But they generally probably just chill.
Renee, what were you like growing up though? Because I know a little bit of Renee history now. Like you got the anime tattoo, and then you got it removed.
Oh yeah, like, yeah. Had a thick ass neck tattoo from a anime called The Promised Neverland.
So, okay.
Can we talk about how you got the money for this tattoo?
Oh, it was only like $70. It wasn't an expensive
tattoo. Oh, okay. The story to me was that you won the UCC, which is a huge comedy competition in North Carolina, and then you used the entire $1,000 to put an anime tattoo on your neck. I'm glad it isn't, because that sounds like the dumbest thing I've ever heard a human do. Like, so I was just, I'm glad it wasn't
$1,000 tattoo.
The thing is that if that was the truth, that's like almost so dumb that it is impressive. You're like, well, at least I guess he just wanted that tattoo, man.
Yeah.
I gave him a huge tip. No, I had it planned for a while before the UCC. It was just like a coincidence that I had won and I got the tattoo. It was like the dates kind of lined up. But it was I always wanted an anime tattoo, but I hated anime tattoos. Like, I hated the very obviously Naruto or like some fucking, it's just, it's like, it's nerdy, but not, I didn't want it to be like overtly, obviously I'm a geek. So it was like a reference to an anime that you would only get if you read it, which was fine with me.
And I like the tattoo. Very subtle.
Yeah, but.
But why the neck? Subtle... 'Cause that's like, were you like, hey, I only want to be a bartender for the rest of my life.
That's the thing. I never cared. Yeah. People have like weird, there's a stigma to tattoos. You either like them or you hate them. And there's no way I can convince people who don't like them to like, why would I, it's.
I'm just a bitch. Like I'm scared of committing. Like it takes me like a week to figure out like wallpaper for my iPhone. Like I can't commit to my girlfriend. I'm not going to commit to like something on my skin forever. Like that's what scared me about it. Not the pain. Or just the idea that like a month later I can go, I fucked up, you know?
Yeah. And
yeah.
Cause like, growing up, I didn't really see tattoos as a thing, or at least it wasn't like the whole permanent forever affecting your life. I'm like, dude, I'm an illegal immigrant. I'm already going to be working these horrible neck tattoo jobs. Right, anyways, it's already what I'm used to. So it's not like it really affected me. And then, when I got it, I was like, well, I mean, I just wore a collared shirt. Like I still got a job. I didn't really see like what the big
deal. So why'd you get it removed, man? Why didn't you just stay true to your neck tattoo self?
Because fucking immigration came in. So it was during the Trump era and DACA kids, the kids who have like deferred action, they were losing their permits because of tattoos.
Oh my God. Yeah.
If they claim any sort of gang.
What?
They can take away your permit without like saying anything else. They're just like, if they think that you're gang related, they'll take away that.
You know, Renee, that is actually why I would probably never get a tattoo, is because in El Salvador and Honduras, tattoos are so associated with gangs that if you have one like in public over there, people just think you're a gangbanger. So like it has a very negative connotation in like
sense. Yeah, and
I didn't want to start like a beef with somebody.
Yeah, and it didn't even cross my mind after I got it that it would affect my permit until Vice did a whole documentary about it, about how, like, DACA kids are losing their
permits. It as you're getting the tattoo and the fucking...
It was like 2 weeks later. I was like,
that's fucking ridiculous. I mean, it shouldn't be a thing that you actually have to worry about when they're like, I would really love your lawyer to be like, Your Honor, it's an anime tattoo. He couldn't win any fight, let alone be in a gang. He can't make eye contact. He watches anime. He should remain in this country. Like,
But like, I saw that video, and there was a dude on there that he had like a Louis Vuitton tattoo or something like that. It was like the Louis Vuitton symbol, and the cop was like, "Nah, that's it. That's gambling." He's like, "No, it's not. It's Louis Vuitton." But it doesn't matter. It was his word against the cop, and the cop's word is gonna, you know, beat yours.
No.
So then I talked to a lawyer, and they were like, "Yeah. You know, if just to be safe, if you got the funds, I'd get it removed if I was you." And I was like, fuck. All right, I guess I'll start getting.
Wouldn't that be so funny, Renee, having you in the immigration office trying to explain to them, like you have a projector and you're like showing them episodes of the anime. And you're like, as you can see, there's the symbol right there that it means Brotherhood from the show, and it's just some like white dude with no neck being like, I don't know.
I would love
looks
it if
pretty
they got
violent.
If they got really into the anime, where it's like, it's like Hobichi-san is. I mean, he just needs to make the right decision so that he can grow up as a young man. Like, I really would love it if the whole courtroom is just really into this anime now.
Okay. When does season 2 come out?
Yeah. It's just. That is, oh God. Yeah, that's fucking.
I have a tattoo of my favorite indie rock band, and I would hate to be like in El Salvador and being like, what the fuck is that? And I have to be like, it's my favorite.
Well, I'm going to tell you, no one's going to think a white dude with an indie rock. They're going to be able to, it's not, there is MS-13 is not just waiting. They're not thinking you're bad. But if I had like some cool tattoo and I was buff, walk down the street, someone could be like, what, who's this guy with? You know what I mean?
I think you should get a tribal tattoo. That would be fucking hilarious.
I actually was thinking about that earlier as like, just what if I want to emerge from quarantine. So like, because like now I have the fades, which is like tiny different, but I want to emerge like so absurdly different that everyone thinks, what the fuck happened to him?
So it would be
kind of interesting to have like a sleeve and like a strange like scar across my face. I was like shit went bad and I lost my job, got into the meth game for a little bit. Like I really want to have like a crazy story, man.
Like I had a seasons 4 through 6 Breaking Bad all in
it was basically
day.
That got off a trial. Yeah, like it just some like everyone sees me and goes, who the fuck is that? Also that, and then a solid gold watch. Just a solid gold.
Yeah.
Like I just like he's like he got fucked up, but he's clearly doing like okay. Like just real questions. I just want pure questions.
Watch is real, but the tattoo's fake somehow.
Yeah, oh, yeah. It's like, how pathetic would that be? Like, did you get a tribal? And it's like, no, I saw him in the rain. It was just falling away. He went to the laundromat. He went to the laundromat and just kept getting those like fucking 75-cent tattoos, throwing them on.
Oh shit.
But I've been given even less of a fuck about tattoos since getting sick. I'm just like, right. I really don't. I even contemplated a face tattoo again because it's like I've always wanted one, but it's just like I don't want to upset people that much.
But it's your life. So especially when you say getting pretty sick, you know, just to tell listeners, unless you're uncomfortable, but like what do you just so they understand more where you're coming from.
Yeah, I got cancer. Yeah, got cancer, and it's not not looking too good.
I say get the face tattoo. Yeah, because it's like, what? I mean, yeah, why not? Like, who gives a fuck?
And Renee, a lot of face tattoos, they apparently it just comes with like at least one rap album. Like, you can just make a rap album if you get a face tattoo.
The Grammy comes in the mail. You get.
I wanted to get a face tattoo and then release a special on SoundCloud.
Dude, get the face tattoo, eat a mountain of Xanax, and have a career. I mean, what are we doing? I mean, yeah, dude, the face, like, absolutely, dude.
But I just don't. I don't want to like.
But who gives a fuck? Who gives a fuck?
Well, in my mind, I was picturing like I'm meeting some girl's parents, and it's just like, I don't want to have this on my face right now.
Yeah, you
know I mean? So it's like moments like that I'm just like, nah,
I guess if you, especially if you hit remission, especially if you go full blown, like who gives a shit, and you get like two middle fingers or something on your cheek, and then it's like, and then tomorrow they're like, we have a cure for cancer, and you're like, fuck, I have to go apply to work at Starbucks with just this on my face.
you just get fuck Alex and Dehaj on your forehead.
Yeah, and you're like, God damn it.
And I'm like, yeah, I thought I had less than 30 minutes to live when I got there.
Yeah, I truly was just getting this for the casket, and then but God, man.
I would love to have that problem. I would love nothing else. That because like some of my friends also bring up that one comedian who had like terminal cancer, and like Ellen gave him a special, and then like he never died.
Yeah, he lived. People called him a fraud. I was like, that happens with cancer sometimes.
Exactly. I was like, dude, I would love to have that problem.
That is the best problem in the world. Yeah.
He's so happy right now. He gives no shits.
But someone's like, you know, you're a fraud. He's like, you know what? I'm not dead. So I don't give a fuck. You're going to call me a name? Like, who cares? Also, like, oh my God. What a sick thing to say. Because it's like, what? So he has to fucking die? Like, exactly. what if he was like, you're right, and he just pulled out a gun and killed himself? Like, what the fuck is that? Come on.
Yeah. Also, yeah, I'm like, people that, like,
let's say he did fake it. I think smart. I respect that. Anyone who would lie about cancer enough to get a special has what it takes.
True.
Like, has a workup.
And it's not like, dude, they obviously vet Ellen's people vetted him. So, like,
he had the test result. He didn't have.
He fucking deserved it.
Yeah, dude. A miracle happened. He got the special and he beat cancer, man. Yeah, shit. Shit doesn't go well in me and Nick's way. We're going to start like...
I'm actually kind of surprised, knowing what Ellen did now, that she didn't actually have him killed. Like, she didn't track him down.
Order an intern. He's like nervously drinking in the parking lot. He's like, I'm sorry, I can't lose my health insurance. Boom. Just like fucking murks him in the parking lot.
She's there with him and she goes, I'll teach you how to do it. Break his neck. Yeah.
this is what I did when someone didn't put milk in my latte last week.
Yeah.
God. You could tell she was an insufferable person, though. Shit, man.
I've been caring a lot less. I mean, I had more tattoos. I actually tried to get a full like sleeve tattoo a while back, but the shop that I was talking to, it was somewhere in like the coast of North Carolina. But the dude does amazing single needle tattoo sleeves, which are like very
stick and poke.
No, like a single. It's like a what's it called? It's a certain phrase. I can't remember the exact terminology, but it's like the needle that he uses is like very thin, so he can almost like pencil draw shit on your skin. I wanted to get like a full fucking sleeve for him because he does amazing work. But when I was in the process of like talking to the shop, I was like, "Yo, dying of cancer. Always wanted a tattoo from your guy. Can you guys hook me up?" And they legitimately went to like a whole like, okay, we're very busy, but you know what? Special circumstances. When do you think you can come out? What are you looking for? And I was like, awesome. And when we were exchanging emails and they asked about like my illness, I didn't say I had cancer. I was like, look, terminal illness. I'm receiving treatment. Don't know how long I'm going to live. Shit like that. They were into it until they sort of deduced that, like, it might be too much trauma for someone as sick as you. So they kind of wanted like a permission slip from my doctor to get the tattoo. And I was like, look, my doctor is not happy I'm getting tattoos. He's sort of like, it's your life, do what you want. But like, I'm not going to co-sign it because you could get an infection and die.
So
since I couldn't like get like a permission slip from them, they were like, we don't feel comfortable.
That is rough. That is rough when it's like, you're like, hey man, I'm sick. I just wanted to. And they're like, you're literally too sick. Like if we poke you with a needle, you're going to go like that.
Well, not really. Like, I mean, technically, yeah. But like what the doctor said is if your counts or if your blood counts are normal, you can get a tattoo. And normal just means that like they're the same as everybody else's. So the chemotherapy will like totally destroy like your immune system and your defenses. So your counts are low at that point. But after like some time from treatment, your counts start to come back up. So you're relatively normal. And he said, as long as it's normal, you know, you're technically at the same risk of getting an infection as everybody else. But the problem is if you get an infection, you're going to fucking die.
Damn.
And yeah, in a sleeve, it's just like so much trauma at one time. They were like too scared to do it. And I was like, that's, you know, I get it. I'm not going to force it.
But how cool is this tattoo though? I mean, if we're like at a certain point, like if it's like really cool, we could be like, but if you live, the pussy you'll get.
Oh, you know? I was like, I didn't want to say it because it was like a cordial conversation, but I was like, I'm okay with dying to get this. You understand me? Because it's like dying from an infection and dying from cancer are both slow and painful. It's not like, there's no win-win here. It's the same thing.
Yeah, at least you go out looking
potentially get
cool.
Way more pussy with one than the other.
Right. You had a hilarious joke about it the other day about people say you can get girls, but like I just from imagining, I don't think like what do you eat? You go at a bar and someone's like, "Hey, what's up with you?" And you're like, "I have cancer."
I know.
And then what are you supposed to do? Just go, "Please?" Like, are you? So far, I have cancer. Hey, let me just. I got cancer. I don't have enough time for small talk or to pretend to be interested in what school you went into. I got a hotel room. Let's, you know.
Yeah, I didn't get that either. Whenever people try to like make me feel better, they're like, "Dude, there's so many girls, you know, with cancer." I was like, "Is that a thing? Is that really a thing?" It's not really a thing.
No, I've yet to come up with a Tinder bar that's like really looking for someone who has, you know, 3 to 6 months left, trouble getting out of bed.
People think you're gonna like hit girls' maternal caring instinct, but the girls I'm talking to are between like 22 and 30. These aren't caring people.
They're sociopaths.
They care about themselves, and that's it. Like, they don't give a fuck about me or like what my condition is, dude.
My
penis doesn't work.
They need to circle back because they want to date the asshole that makes them appreciate like someone later. You know what I mean? They're still looking for the cool guy.
If I can live long enough and still have cancer when I'm like 34, maybe these girls.
Yeah, then you get like the caring. I just went through a divorce and they're kind of into it. Yeah. But 22-year-old like sorority girl is gonna be like, no, I still want to date the hot football guy. No.
Yeah, the first girl that I sort of went out with who knew I had like cancer-ish, like she literally day one when we hung out, passed out from smoking marijuana. Like, this is the type of girls that I'm talking to right now. Not the most caring. Right. You know what I'm saying?
They don't care about themselves even. So
exactly.
Yeah, God. Insanity.
She probably thought that you meant the horoscope. She was like, yeah, you're a cancer, right?
She's like, well, then we wouldn't be good together anyway.
Yeah.
It wasn't meant to be. I don't like it. And you're like dying. It's like, no, you're the cancer. If that girl said that, she's the cancer.
Bro, I would hate calling people that, but it's a little bit true. Because like now, it's not even, I try not to tell people, girls that I'm talking to romantically, I have cancer, and so like we're a little bit in, because what always happens, and it's sort of like the joke that I talk about where I don't get friend zone, I get sibling. They don't want to fuck me. They don't want to go on a date with me, but they'll still like hit me up about how I'm doing to make themselves feel better.
Yeah. Because you can't ghost a man who's about to be a ghost.
But oh my God,
that's a little much.
That just forces me to ghost them because I don't want to get those messages of like, how are you doing? I'm glad you're okay. Just like, this is just to help you. Cause it's not like I'm honest with them. When they're like, how are you doing? I'm not going to be like, I'm in pain and I have thoughts. I'm just like, holding up okay. How's your day going? And they're like, great. And
you don't want to be in a condition. I don't like engaging in small talk over dating apps right now. And I'm like a relatively healthy man. It's like, I don't want to like, if I was dealing with something like that, I'd be like, dude, I'm not doing anything I don't want to do 100%. Like, go fuck yourself.
Yeah. Oh man. And it's true. It's like, you're not going to get to a situation like this and not realize that like, shit, I really don't want to waste my time doing things I don't want to do, but I would love to quit my job, but I can't because I need the health insurance from it. And I don't want to be a burden on my family.
You pause so that we could play the national anthem?
Yeah.
Oh man, that's just the most disgusting sentence a person could say. I don't want to quit my job because it's then I would the only thing that's paying for me to live.
It really is. God, and it's such insane. A shitty way to learn about how broken the healthcare system is. But that's how I learned.
And so, like, the fact that, like, because, you know, part of you is like, dude, travel the world, do whatever. And you're like, no, I still got to show up on Monday. Like, if I don't show up on Monday, I'm not going to get my chemo fucking Thursday. So that's such do you, like, on my office thing, where they always ask how our weekend is. If I had cancer, I would literally hammer it in every second of every day.
I don't
know
how you do it.
Just
right
so they'd be like, how was my weekend? You're just like, I could feel the tumor and it's bigger. Like, I would just throw it in their face so that no one asked me to do anything.
No, yeah, I, because my workflow has 100% declined since getting cancer. And it's just like, because there's been a couple like, you have a minute? Can we talk to you? You know, type meetings was like me and a manager or me and a supervisor. And every time I'm just like, look, you know what I'm going through? This is the best I can do. And then I just stare at them until they.
Yeah, because what's someone supposed to do? And they're like, well, here at Conduit, we want a little bit better, even on your way out.
But dude, they did something.
Even on your way out. Okay.
They did something kind of crazy.
Yeah.
I know you're done,
but you're not done with this company. You're not done with this company.
Their solution, kind of genius, was like, all right, we understand. We're going to give you 30 more days of PTO and just take them, please. That's what they did.
Oh, that's kind of smart. Yeah, that's kind of good.
Because they're like, that way, if you don't feel like working, take the PTO so you don't keep making our numbers look bad because your numbers are terrible. That's pretty much all they're trying to do.
Okay, like, that's awesome. Yeah. If we're talking about faking cancer for shit, I might fake cancer just for a month of PTO right now. For my boss.
You'll get it.
Yeah, I'm just like, oh my god, I'm sorry. I did that recently with a breakup where I excused a fuck up. I was like, man, it's just getting to I with cancer. I literally they'd be like, you didn't touch the keyboard all day, and it's like, I just can't.
Kenyon's just racking his brain ever since like people started getting vaccinated for coronavirus. Kenyon's like, I need to still get out of shit.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Like, yeah, COVID was like, get out of jail for something. You're taking away the hall pass. I need a reason to not do anything and no one just call me a lazy asshole. And everyone will just be like, nah, I just have a rare form of this disease. I got Lyme's disease real bad. Be like, is that why you haven't wrote a new joke in 2 years? I'm like, the Lyme's, dude. Fuck up your brain.
Yeah, I mean, and luckily, like the little company that I work for, they've been cool enough. They haven't been, because I've been waiting for people to do exactly that, to be like, hey, you need to pick up the work, you're not doing, but I'm just always expecting that, and they always surprise me with just being super kind and but they're like, we totally understand.
You gotta be humans on some level. They can't just
But a little bit of me does want somebody to just come at me so I can unload all this fucking
because you dude the ultimate quitting conversation.
Yeah,
absolutely. God.
And I wish it didn't, but I mean, getting this, it definitely did put a little bit of a chip on my shoulder. I am a little bit just like a little bit of me at all times, just like, oh, fuck all these people. Fuck all these. Oh, it's just like.
I've never actually quit a job. The only thing that came close was I was waiting tables here in Chicago, and then I got an office job. And I just wanted to start the office job right away so that I could get back to doing comedy. And I just didn't show up for a Friday night shift.
I remember
knowing, like, I watched the shift time go by, and then it was like 8:20 or whatever. And I was supposed to be there at 8. And I saw the phone call go in, and I went, yeah, this is it. And I just, that was my fuck you, was I just like declined it immediately so they know I declined it.
Yeah.
And then they didn't call me back. They didn't say anything. That was it. That's all it takes in the restaurant industry. Oh, if you don't answer, you're...
I quit a pizza place and I just not showing up. Didn't show up one day and they're like, I guess he made it. He's free. Like every time you don't answer, they're like, he made it to healthcare somehow. We can't, it's truly like that. We can't get him back now.
Yeah, but that shit is, oh man, it's having the whole day job philosophy, it's god damn, man, it's soul sucking.
Dude, especially right. I mean that is, it's just a disgusting country. But it's like, that's just so fucked up, you know, to like, you know, have to like try to get, like, do people still try to small talk with you, or are you at least free from that?
Well, the coworkers don't know if they don't have to. The only people that should know so far, unless I don't know, I mean somebody might have said something, but as far as the people that know, it should just be like a few supervisors.
Oh, okay.
I mean, coworkers, we talk.
I would bring it up with coworkers. It'd be like, "How's your weekend?" You're like, "I have cancer." Stop messaging.
No, I don't.
Like, I have cancer, and I'd appreciate it if I'd spend my last days not having to bullshit with you about how my weekend was.
Yeah, I might if we went back to the office, that might be something that I'd do.
Office, like straight up, you bringing it up every 4 seconds. They're like, "Did you eat my leftovers?" And you're like, "I don't know if I'll be able to try it. Doctor, that chicken again."
I'm sorry.
I don't know where you got it, and that's it.
I was hungry, which is rare for me, so I just ate your food. Oh, man. But I would definitely bring it up if it became an issue. Like if I needed people to leave me alone, 100%. Got cancer, fuck off.
Yeah, well, there is, at least you got those perks with it. That's what's kind of cool. It's like the ultimate. That is the hall pass of hall passes.
Deserves it, man. He's working hard. I cannot imagine the kind of strength that takes, because like I fucking hate my job right now. Like Kenyon said, I'm a healthy person, but you put it into perspective, dude. If you can do it, I can fucking copy and paste for a little bit. tomorrow.
I like how Nick has to meet someone with cancer to give a shit about his day job. You're not meeting a homeless person. You're like, I should just be lucky I have a job. You're like, ah, I guess someone with a life-threatening illness. And you're like, okay, I could do work that someone's paying me to do.
Well, and Renee goes to open mics, you know, and fucking killing it. Andrew's still out
here doing comedy, yeah.
But I mean, because it was something that hit me once I, you know, after the diagnosis and when went back to work. I had gotten calls because, like, what we do at the company is part of the job at the company is we help people enroll in Medicaid, right? And Medicaid is just free health insurance. If if you're low income, the state will, you know, provide health insurance. And I got a call from a woman who, you know, needed some sort of like health insurance coverage. And she started breaking down on the call because she was like, look, I have cancer. My union cut my health insurance because I'm not working enough because of the pandemic. I have to work because I need treatment. I don't know what else to do. And she was like, she was breaking down on the call. I didn't have cancer when she called, but that call stuck with me for the longest time before the diagnosis and after. I was just like, God damn, this is,
yeah.
And like, this is one person out of who knows how many people are going through this, you know, right now.
Right.
I
mean, that should just be a campaign ad. You know what I mean? I mean, just like if I was running for a poll, that's all I would do is just play that and be like, that's my argument.
If I had the level of not giving a fuck that I do now, I would totally record that call and just post it and hope it goes viral so people understand, like, this is what people go through every day.
Yeah. They have to like have cancer, go to a shitty job, get just because they literally still they can't even enjoy the last moments. So,
woo,
yeah, a little bit of a different ending.
You
know, sometimes we left you with something important to think about, and you know, you've had a lot of free laughs from the podcast. You're fucking free riding bastards, all of you. We don't have a Patreon, so leave you with that gem.
Yeah,
be grateful.
Don't have a Patreon yet. Launch one. I would definitely.
We just get really grimy, start a Patreon, saying we'll give it all to you and steal it. like true crime. It's like a GoFundMe for Renee that we just split like 25% with Renee. But
bro, do it. Okay. Yeah. I'm all for using my illness for any gains that you can get from it. So Kenyon, if you want to say my friend Renee has cancer, I can't go out tonight. I'm going to go, you know, talk to him, please.
Renee, that means a lot, man.
If you're 100%. On Tinder, you're talking to a girl, you're like, I would hang out this weekend, but my friend has cancer and you know, please fucking do both of you.
I will do, bro.
Renee, I'm literally going to use that as to why the podcast was late to my girlfriend, because she's really cranky that I haven't cooked yet. So I will go up to her and I'll be like, my friend has cancer, so he was late for the podcast. And I'll let you know how it goes.
Hit me up. I'll send a message corroborating.
No, I want send dot like medical results. Send like the fucking dot results.
Also, before we end, I really want to plug your podcast, Renee. No Kids in Here, Officer, because it is what top five.
Oh, here's
I'm going to say top three podcasts for me, actually. Top three podcasts for me. It makes me laugh until I cry.
Hilarious. Just hilarious. Renee's hilarious. Everyone's hilarious. So on.
Here's another line. We haven't put out a podcast in like a month. Okay.
But, that's a shame. Get back on that, bro.
I'm trying to. It's just hard to schedule, wrangle everybody in. And like we had JD on in the last episode and he kind of wants to be like a consistent guest. So trying to schedule him and the other two dudes has just been a fucking nightmare.
But yeah, that's no a lot of people.
Here. Yeah, it's called No Kids in Here, Officer. Semi like bi-weekly episode update. It's just a bunch of friends talking about stand-up comedy. Sometimes we have guests on from local open mics and shit. And we just riff around bullshit. Usually about an hour, try not to go too long. But it's on everything if you want to check it out.
I was on there and I had so much fun.
One of my favorite episodes was yours.
Oh my God, it was so fun. All right, Renee. Well, thank you so much for coming on, man. It was a blast, dude.
No, dude. Thank you guys for having me on. It was fun. I'm a fan of your work. I'm a fan of you guys' each individual art, everything you put out. Keep up the content. Man. 30 for 30.
Thanks, man.
Much love. That's fun.
Yeah. That's my other podcast, baby. 30 for 30 and 30. If you haven't listened to that, check that out. I haven't plugged that here yet, but you should listen to that. It's fun. Hey, guys, you just listened to another episode of Fuck You, Dad. If you could follow us on our Instagram, which is FCKYOUDAD podcast. That's the important one. We also have a Twitter account, which is FCKYOUDADPODCA1. If you could follow that. Also, please submit any father stories that you have that you'd like us to make fun of, laugh at, or share. Shoot that to our Instagram DMs. And if you could please go ahead and rate the podcast, share the podcast with your friends and family that might enjoy it. And keep listening. Thank you so much.